From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Recycle Utah is celebrating its 25th year of existence. During that time, they have helped to reduce, reuse, and repurpose tons of paper, plastic, aluminum, wood, and glass, and prevent all of that material from ending up in the landfill.
Insa Repin is the executive director of Recycle Utah, and she joins us in the first part of the show to discuss Recycle Utah's 25 years, the highs, the lows, and the challenges that remain.
That's right, and a couple of events Recycle Utah is helping to host. They're coming up most recently on the 10th and the 17th. We'll give you the details on those. Then in the second part of the show, we'll talk about the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
From major national parks like Canyonlands to small recreation areas like county swimming pools, the Land and Water Conservation Fund has made open spaces in America and in Utah possible since its establishment in 1965.
However, the LWCF is set to expire in less than 100 days unless Congress acts to renew the fund. Although it was renewed with bipartisan support in 1990, there are a number of members of Congress that will not support its renewal. Could the fact that the money for this fund comes from the oil and gas industry have anything to do with that?
What? No.
No.
We'll speak with Paul Spittler with the Wilderness Society about the Land and Water Conservation Fund, why its existence is threatened, and what will happen if the program is allowed to expire.
All that and some news about the state of Wisconsin recently signing a law that will ban microbeads from soap, toothpaste, and personal care products. How about that?
That's exciting news.
Projects. No,
it
good
is.
Job.
It is. You can join in on today's conversation by posting to our Facebook page, KPCW This Green Earth. Our connections with and impacts upon the environment. That's what This Green Earth is all about. Stay tuned.
Rocky Mountain Power is proud to support KPCW and This Green Earth. Rocky Mountain Power offers cash incentives for energy-efficient appliances, cooling equipment, insulation, and other improvements for your home. More ways to save energy and money at wattsmart.com.
This is Chris Robinson with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties. KPCW is one of the many nonprofits our agents and companies support. They are the backbone of Summit and Wasatch counties in our incredible community. More info at bhhsutah.com.
I'm Tim Henney.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak. Join us Wednesday at 9 a.m. for The Mountain Life.
Concussions, allergies, and yoga. Oh my, it's summer in Park City.
Join us to talk with the experts on these three topics Wednesday at 9 a.m. on The Mountain Life. Brought to you by the doctors at the Park City Specialty Clinic and Grand Valley Bank and Heber Valley Bank.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, and that is Chris Cherniak across the board, shuffling the papers. And in the studio with us this morning is Insa Repin from Recycle Utah. Insa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to start out by saying happy birthday, Recycle Utah.
Are you going to sing?
No.
Come on, Chris.
No.
Recycle Utah is a quarter century old, 25 years.
1990. I heard you like... You started off with, it was just you and one recycling bin and a dream.
No, it wasn't me in 1990.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I came in 99.
I got some bad information, usual.
Oh, gee. But it's been a long time, yes. And the remarkable thing is that an environmental organization lasted for 25 years.
That is impressive.
It is impressive. And it started out with one newspaper-only bin where Coal Sport is now. And expanded from there. And when I came in, we had about, I'd say, 25, 30 cars a day. And my highlight of the day was always going to the post office and seeing if there was any mail, which there seldomly was.
Right.
And that was when the post office was still on Kearns.
Okay.
Yes, a long time ago.
So in over 25 years... things have expanded and grown.
Indeed.
And what would you say some of the big successes were, have been over that 25-year period?
I think our Goodwood project, and that was the capture of, the initial idea behind it was the capture of materials from building With other words, the builders, the contractors would mm-hmm. have one bin with garbage and another one with the wood that they deemed to be good. Have you ever been at a building site? Could mm-hmm. that happen?
Yes.
No, of course not. It was a bin of junk that was delivered to us, and we had to apparently sort it. And when I went into the bin, actually, to see how many nails I could step on, I said, this isn't going to happen.
After getting your tetanus shot.
I did, yes. Or the renewal of. So while the idea was wonderful, it didn't quite work. We tried placing pallets on building sites to say, this is, you know, the 2x4s over here, the 2x6 over there.
Right.
Our building season is very short, and the builders just don't have enough time for that. However, there are some in town that actually do it and bring us whatever leftover items they have from the building sites. And that's very, very exciting, and we want to thank them.
So all this wood that otherwise was, again, going to go to the landfill, this timber, lumber that can be repurposed.
Right.
And that included siding or roofing material or otherwise, doors and everything.
If you have even one leftover packet of shingles, I can tell you it won't last very long at the center.
Really?
Because people want that, you know, I need just a couple to fix the roof in the corner, left-hand corner or whatever. So we love shingles. Yeah.
So that's been going on for how long?
That was started, I believe, in 97. So
almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Goodwood project.
Yeah. Okay. Which then turned into the restore, which then turned into the warehouse because a change of names out of respect for the bigger brother moving into town.
Right. Right, but it expands and it evolves over time. So what
we have added things to it. We have added the appliances, which of course are wonderful. We have added the outhouse, which is anything that has to do with the outhouse.
Okay,
like toilets and sinks and faucets. We love faucets. They don't last very long either.
No.
But every now and then somebody comes and says, "I broke the back of the cover of the toilet, right, in the back." What is that place? What's it called?
The
cover of the toilet.
The seat cover, yeah.
There you go. No, not the seat. No, we don't want
not
that.
Not the seat. I mean the seat cover. The cover.
A seat cover. Well, anyway, moving along.
Let's move along. Yes, they break, tend to break, and we have quite a variety that fits on any kind
sure.
of water in the back of the toilet.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. So, little things. We have folks coming by all the time just needing one piece of wood. Let me see if you have one piece of this. And I need a door, 36 by, 72. Do you have it? And bingo, there it is. And they are elated. And it costs very little money.
Sure.
Usually 10 cents on the dollar.
Really?
So, right. So doors can be expensive.
Okay.
So if it's a $100 door, you can get it for $10 at the center. You help our programs that don't make any money, which is just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so while recycling really, really, really does not make fiscal sense, and it is, as with everything else, based on the oil industry, then the warehouse makes good. And if you put those two halves together, it works.
Fantastic.
Okay. So from Goodwood, what other? You obviously
the craziest thing I've ever done is accepted plastic. It's absolutely nasty.
No kidding.
No kidding. There is no value. It is labor intensive, and right now, as you probably know, the recycling market is absolutely dropped out.
Right.
There is no value, and again, it has to do with the oil industry.
Sure, as long as oil remains right now around $65 a barrel.
Yeah. Yeah, well, fracking has something to do with it as well.
How long have you been accepting plastic? When did that come into the mix?
That came in when Mr. Raymond, bless his heart, came in and said, "You talk to my kids in school, and you are telling them about plastic and how recyclable it is or how bad it is or how good it is, and you don't even accept it." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, I can't because I don't have the money."
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Robert Raymond from the Raymond Family Foundation said, how much money do you need? And I told him, and he came the next day and he said, here, start it. And I've been very sorry ever since.
Wow.
But it is strictly, and it's the power of one person,
right,
that had the financial ability to make a program happen. And every time I see him, they'd moved out of town, but every time I see him when he comes back, I say, you know, you are the guy that made me do this.
Yeah, you thank him,
yeah,
quote unquote.
Profusely.
And
yes.
Where does that plastic, just to...
What happens to it?
Yeah, you collect
so
it,
we are the center for the responsible recycler, which means you come to us and you don't throw everything in one bin. We ask you to sort.
Okay.
The more we can sort, the better product we can deliver to market.
Yes.
So if you bring us the number one, the water bottles, and put them into the number one PETE bag, then we can bale it, and it takes a lot of effort, believe me. And we can bring that to market as a clean product. But we don't sort every bag anymore. We used to. We're getting too much of the good stuff. So it's not a clean bag. So the finances go down, mm-hmm, and the service goes up.
Okay.
Which isn't always good financially, but it works.
So let's talk about another recyclable item that we've been hearing a lot about lately because we've been having some problems with it in the city and the county, and that is glass. So tell us what's going on with glass right now.
Glass is a wonderful material to package food products in. Mm. It is the best. Period, paragraph. So if you have a choice between a plastic mayonnaise jar and the glass mayonnaise jar, I would hope that you would choose glass.
Mm.
Glass is 100% recyclable. Plastic is not. Like an aluminum can, 100% recyclable. A steel tin can is not. There are big differences. So glass, everybody seems to think that I need to recycle glass. Well, what you really need to recycle is the plastics, which you shouldn't buy in the first place.
Okay.
But glass is recyclable. Whatever you drop off at the center will be recycled by Momentum Recycling in Salt Lake. Finally, we have a reliable source. That was not always the case. Some of the old timers may remember that we had to shut it down for a week. That caused almost a revolution here in Park City. But we did not have a reliable source. We did not have anywhere to deliver it to. Well, we now do, and we have been for years. So the deal is that we at the center will not accept anything unless we can get it to market, unless it can get recycled.
Okay.
If we can't recycle it, then we can't take it. An example of that are the Tetra Paks. Tetra Paks are wonderful. Those of you that drink the almond milk and soy milk and the soups and such, great packaging material. Just know you're buying a piece of garbage. Maybe not the inside of it.
Right.
But it's a piece of garbage because of the way in which it is constructed.
And Tetra Pak. Okay.
Tetra Pak is the package that has the metal lining inside.
Okay.
Totally takes it out of...
Unrecycled garbage. Totally. Just throw it away. It's okay. Throw it away.
Well,
make
a better choice when you purchase things.
Okay.
So the power of recycling starts at the grocery store. That's where you make the decisions. Can I buy something in a plastic or in paper? You know, how do I buy my laundry detergent?
How do you buy your laundry detergent?
Powder in a paper, in a paper box.
In a paper box, okay.
Yeah.
Versus a plastic recyclable.
Mm-hmm.
A plastic vessel. That
yeah.
Usually comes. Okay. So that's
works
how you do it. Okay.
Well, that's how many of us do it. That's have the knowledge, and now that I put it out there, I just want the powder to go. Oh, you don't do that? Oh gosh!
Almost.
Next time we got him.
No, I didn't know. Okay.
But the choice really is to be a conscious and informed shopper at the grocery store. That makes a huge difference.
Be proactive in that sense.
Proactive in anything you do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but going back to the glass, and that's the thing that in many parts of this country, where lots of us come from, at one point, we do recycle glass. It's kind of ingrained with us that we feel, oh, it's glass, it's recyclable. There's
but
a market
usually,
for it.
You know, a refund in a lot of places for your bottles.
Yeah.
But here, it can be really expensive. You're your Recycle Utah is actually, am I right, correct, paying Momentum to accept the glass?
No, but okay. We have to pay for the hauler to haul
for
the bins.
Okay.
To
haul so there's the a cost
so
associated with
it. There is a huge cost associated with it.
To take it down the Momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Especially now that we have the new bins in the county, and we just installed 4 yard bins in 4 locations, and they are the Jeremy Ranch Park and Ride parking lot,
mm-hmm.
In Summit Park on Kilby Road, right where the county shed is. They are at the Willow Park,
mm-hmm.
Willow Creek Park,
Willow Creek Park.
Mm-hmm. Where the tennis courts are, and behind the Triumph Gear building on the way up to Promontory. So what you will find there is a brown 4-yard bin with a closed top, which means you have to take your brown glass and put it in the little hole that says, put the glass here. Yes.
Right.
And then you have a green bin, which is for
green glass
and clear glass.
And
they're clearly marked. They have been, I have to say, folks in Jeremy Ranch won. Yes.
Oh.
They filled the bin first. That's their claim to fame. So whoever lives in Jeremy Ranch, you are good goobies out there.
Good,
yeah.
And they're yes. good sorters. They do it right.
The reason why we need to have it sorted, and let's address that, again, in a Center for the Responsible Recycler, where we ask you to do it according to what makes sense, and that is the brown glass is really, really a different kind of material than a green and clear. Brown is very harsh. It ruins the machines that grind it, but it's great for sandblasting. So okay. that material is being sorted out. There are many ways of doing that, but it really helps if we separate it when we drop it. So the brown glass goes to Momentum, yes, and it's being turned in, for the most part, into sandblasting material. Mm-hmm. The clean and green is turned into fiberglass insulation. Hmm. And while you might discuss the value and the benefits of fiberglass versus anything else for insulation in your home, the remarkable thing is that these products are being dropped off here, maybe purchased here, maybe all those wine bottles from California.
Yeah.
By the way, wine bottles are green. Green.
Green.
They're not
green,
brown.
Not brown.
Oh, yes. They're not brown.
Yes. And somebody said that we should attach signs. So I said, well, I'm going to talk to Chris and Nell tomorrow, and you just listen up. So
why are people confused?
Bottles,
that?
Have, yeah, well,
they're
you have
colorblind?
To take your sunglasses off, and then you will see that they're green.
They're
hold
green.
It up to the sun.
Okay.
Yeah. Or the
that's
light.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the big takeaway from today's show.
wine
bottles.
If you take
are
away
green.
One thing, remember that.
And if I come across that rare blue bottle or something,
please sort it out and bring it to us at the center, because this is such a cool story.
Yeah.
They actually stay in Utah, and in Logan there is a company called Heritage Glass, and they sort by color. They appreciate the fact that we have blue, and they make terrazzo tiles and incredibly wonderful countertop material out of the glass that they get right here from Park City. So
super.
Yeah.
Heritage Vodka? Glass.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So blue,
cool.
If you have that odd blue bottle.
Beautiful
to bring
blue
it to.
Bottle.
Oh, they're
yes.
beautiful. They're wonderful.
We have an extra blue bucket.
Okay.
Yes.
So, are there any glasses types of glass that we shouldn't be recycling in these containers?
Pyrex is an enemy. Pyrex.
No
Pyrex is the enemy, right?
Okay.
And please, 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 there are some wines that are now packaged in ceramic bottles.
What? Oh.
That is the largest enemy of any glass recycling operation.
Okay. No so ceramic.
Absolutely.
No Pyrex.
No ceramics. That's, yeah.
No ceramics, no Pyrex. Great.
That's okay. What if you break a glass in your home and you need to get
that's
rid of
fine.
It? Recyclable?
That's
great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Perfect.
Hey, we only have a few more minutes.
Oh my gosh.
We already
time is
raced
fine.
Through it. We got
yes.
let's get to some of these events.
Yeah.
Yes. This Friday we are combining our efforts with the Sundance Institute Summer Film Series, and we are presenting Racing Extinction, a fantastic documentary which Nell and I actually saw in January, right?
We
at
did,
Sundance.
We did.
Right.
But this is the finished version. I understand it's way better than what we saw.
Uh-oh.
So it's happening this Friday, July the 10th, in the City Park around the gazebo. We start at 7 o'clock, but the film doesn't start probably until 9 and whenever it gets dark enough. But in between 7 and 9, the biggest thing that's happening is that our Deirdre Walsh from Park City Mountain Resort is serving birthday cake to all of you. Like birthday cake, 400 people.
2 hours of birthday cake.
No. We will
How many pieces can you eat at that time?
We wanted to have your music and your picnic, and we're going to tell you, I think I'll go around and see, oh, this is a nice sustainable picnic. You did not bring plastic, and whatever you do, you take it back home. Look at all the garbage you have over here.
And I tell you, bring a blue bottle and you get in for free.
But it's free. It is free.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's a fantastic documentary addressing what is happening in our oceans, why it matters to you and I, and it has some pretty cool shots of a Tesla that is being driven around a racetrack and a very, very incredible young woman who drives that Tesla.
It's like a
race car
high
driver.
Adrenaline environmental documentary.
Yes.
Yes.
But I've never combined those two phrases before, but I think it fits here.
It's happening Friday. And that's
happening
this Friday. Doors open at 7. Film starts around 9.
Nine-ish. Okay. Yes. And we want to thank Sundance Institute for bringing that particular documentary into town. When I saw it, Nell, I said, we want that.
Yes.
We got it. So thank you.
And that's down at City Park.
Indeed.
What's the next one?
The next one is the favorite of everyone. We don't even need to advertise, and that is our Uncorked event on the 17th. Again, that's Friday, starts at 5 until 10. Well, actually 9:59 and a half. We have to stop the music by 10.
Mm-hmm.
Uncorked is somewhat of a fundraiser in support of our glass recycling program, because again, it doesn't make any money. And it's going to be fun because the entry is only $5. The drinks are only $5. Casey's out there concocting something green and blue. Apparently tastes good. And the food will be $5 too. So that's Clockwork is providing the food. And of course, everybody knows Casey and his vodka creations. Right.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome.
So that's the 17th.
Yes. And we have the music by, we have the wonderful poster here, Hellhound Somebody.
Right.
Sorry. Apologies. But music is going to be awesome.
Yes.
So just show up. Parking is in the Park City Mountain Resort parking lot right next door. You cannot park on the street. So we got it all covered and we're legal.
Fantastic.
As always.
Always a good thing.
And then one more event?
Yeah, one last special event.
Yes, indeed. We are going to celebrate our 25th anniversary with the Aqua Affair, and that is a benefit for Recycle Utah, and it's happening on September 13th at Deer Valley, and registration is online. Please consider supporting us and coming to this event, which, by the way, will be blue tie as in water, aqua, water, blue tie.
Aqua.
Blue bottles.
Blue bottles. There will be blue bottle centerpieces. It will be a plated dinner. It will be very elegant. Our board member, Maren Mullen, is in charge. Mm-hmm. She only does elegant. So,
absolutely. Impeccable taste.
But we will also have challenging games and quizzes, and you will be entertained.
Oh.
And we will also have door prizes or prized doors. Stay tuned.
There you go.
Yes.
To circle all the way back.
All the way
to
back.
The good to wood the element of this.
Nice.
Well
good
done.
Answer.
Perfect.
Well, that's it. We're out of time.
No, we need to add a couple more hours.
We'll be here until noon with Insarifin.
Well,
that would be fun.
We want to have you back, of course, because we have other things to talk about, including your presentation tomorrow or today at Summit.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow
at the County. Yes.
We'll have
come
you back
join
to
us
talk
at
about
the,
that.
Yeah, Richens Building in the afternoon. That's all I know.
All right.
Yes.
That's all you know. That's all you need to know. Insarifin, she's executive director with Recycle Utah. And
thank
as
you.
Always, thank you so much for coming by, and we'll see you at all these events.
And at the center.
That's
perfect.
Right. Thank you very much for joining us.
All right. Let's take a break for a couple underwriters and sponsors, and we come back. We'll be talking to Paul Spittler of the Wilderness Society about the Land and Water Conservation Fund. It's the Screen Earth. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage service, and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. As you recycle, please remember, glass cannot go in your residential curbside recycling bin. Help keep Summit County Recycling clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Hi, this is Charlie Taylor with New Park Terrace in Crandall Capital, delighted to support local radio and KPCW. New Park Terrace offers new townhomes with walkable access to shopping, dining, nightlife, public health club, the Park City Trail systems, and more. Located in the heart of New Park Town Center, more information can be found at newparkterrace.com or 435-602-9995.
Additional support for KPCW is provided by our Broadcasters Club, a philanthropic group of community members who are investors in and ambassadors for KPCW. Thank you to our founding members, including Donna Van Buren and Fred Woods, Larry Warren and Carol Murphy, and Mark J. Fisher. For information on how you can support KPCW, please call Cindy at 435-513-2929. Broadcasters Club, providing for the future.
Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, and I'm here with Chris Cherniak, as always. Mm-hmm. And joining us on the phone for the second half of the show is Paul Spittler with the Wilderness Society. And we're going to be talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund, why its existence may be threatened, and what it's achieved over the mm-hmm. past years since it's been in place. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Paul, let's start here. Let's give our listeners a little background on just what the Land and Water Conservation Fund is about.
Sure. The Land and Water Conservation Fund is a program that was started 50 years ago by Congress, and it's funded through the revenues on offshore oil and gas development, and it uses those revenues to pay for parks, to pay for open space, areas that people can use for outdoor recreation, access to the outdoors. And the thought behind the program was, you know, we're tapping a natural resource of the United States, and we should take the benefits of tapping that resource, which belonged to all Americans, and share it amongst all Americans and provide people with opportunities to better enjoy the great outdoors.
When was this established?
It was established in 1964, so it's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year.
So give us some examples of what this fund has been used to support. I was really impressed with the breadth of types of projects.
Oh, sure. It supports everything from acquiring inholdings in national parks and other federal lands like wildlife refuges to national historic sites like the Golden Spike National Historic Site in Utah to providing access to trails. Like in Utah, the Bonneville Shoreline Trail has been a big recipient of land and water conservation funds. Right down to local parks. A portion of the money is set aside to provide local government with the ability to create things like soccer fields and other local parks that people enjoy on a daily basis. So the over the lifespan of the program, the nationwide, there have been over 40,000 projects funded. And Utah has been a great recipient with $171 million going to parks and open space protection in Utah.
Wow. Where does the funding come from?
Well, it comes from revenues from offshore oil and gas. So the fees paid by oil companies when they develop offshore oil and gas are paid into a fund. There's no taxpayer dollars that are spent on the program. It's the only program in America that funds parks and open space protection with no taxpayer dollars being utilized. It's all funded by the oil companies' revenues on their offshore oil and gas development.
Okay, so like a fee per barrel or something?
Exactly.
Okay. So this was established in 1964. It was re-upped, let's say, in 1990, given, it seems like, bipartisan support. And here it is 25 years later. It has to be re-upped or refunded or repurposed. And it's threatened. Its funding is being threatened in one form or another. Why is that happening?
Well, the funding of the Land and Water Conservation Fund has always been threatened. The program, when it was established, required that all of the fees from these offshore oil and gas development be set aside and used solely for the Land and Water Conservation Fund program for parks and open space. But Congress has historically diverted hundreds of millions of dollars every year to pay for other government programs that have nothing to do with the original purpose. So every year, Congress continues to divert hundreds of millions of dollars from the program, which is a huge threat to the program. This year, however, there's an even bigger threat, which is the program expires. In fact, it expires now in less than 100 days. And unless it's reauthorized, the program will no longer exist at all. And Congress has not found a way to reauthorize the program at this point. I should say there's an easy way to do it. They haven't found the will to do it at this point. So unless Congress takes action soon, this fabulous program that has incredible bipartisan support and some of the broadest public support of any program of its kind in the country will go away.
So this has been reauthorized once before. The bill has gone through this process, right?
Correct.
And at that point, it was not a controversial thing. Tell us how that happened last time around.
Well, it's not controversial because, as I mentioned, this is a program that has supported parks and open space in all 50 states. It has incredible public support. In the latest public opinion survey, well over 85% of all Americans said they want to see the program reauthorized. There's legislation pending in Congress in the House of Representatives with over 100 co-sponsors urging the program to be reauthorized. And, you know, it hasn't been a very controversial program in the past because it brings so many benefits to Americans of all kinds that it's just the kind of program that all Americans love.
Right, but is this threat to reauthorize it a function of the fact that more and more of the money that's supposed to go to the LWCF is going to other programs? And what are some of the other programs it's indirectly or directly funding?
Well, the money it's not trackable because the money that's diverted just goes into the Treasury to pay for general government operations. You know, I think the threat to the program now is the primary threat is just the general dysfunction in Congress. And there's a reason why the current Congress has the lowest approval rating of any Congress in history. And it's because they're not able to complete even the basic functions that the Congress needs to complete. And reauthorizing important programs is one of those. There's certainly some partisan opposition to the program from some quarters. Some people don't believe that the federal government should own land. And, you know, that's not a position that's very popular with the American public, but, you know, that has led to some opposition to reauthorizing this program.
So I'm going to guess some more Tea Party likes are in general opposition to this program based on general ideology, like you say, government shouldn't be owning land.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we've seen kind of an unprecedented rise in very, you know, extreme views on public lands, and you know, that opinion, of course, is not one that the American people support, and for very good reason. I mean, people enjoy their parks and open space. I mean, in Utah, over a million people enjoy hunting and fishing. The Utah economy, as we all know, is based on, in large part, on public lands. And you know, over $6 billion in revenue in Utah and 65,000 jobs is generated from activities relating to outdoor recreation on public land. So there's some small sectors who, you know, take very extreme views on the federal lands. But overwhelmingly, you know, sportsmen, conservationists, hunters and anglers, local government, people of all stripes enjoy their public land.
Right.
What makes America unique?
So with all of that in mind, where do our Utah legislators stand on this issue? Is anybody co-sponsoring this, or is anybody actively opposing it?
Well, there haven't been any. None of the Utah members of the congressional delegation have co-sponsored legislation to reauthorize the program yet. We would certainly like them to do so. We encourage their support. We encourage their support of not only reauthorizing the program, but supporting the full funding that the program was entitled to back when it was established in 1964.
Hey, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Paul Spittler. He's with the Wilderness Society, and we're talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Its reauthorization is coming up in the next 3 months or so.
I think I saw a countdown on their website, 84 days.
Oh, okay.
is that right, 84 Paul?
84 days.
Okay. That's right.
All right. So let's say 84 days comes and goes, and this program is not reauthorized. What happens?
Well, at that point, the program will go away, and Congress can certainly appropriate funds for these purposes, but the program that we have known for the past five decades that guarantees that oil revenues go into providing quality of life improvements for all Americans will no longer exist.
So what needs to happen? What are the steps that need to happen for this to be approved, reauthorized?
Well, Congress needs to pass legislation reauthorizing the program. And, you know, that can be something as simple as a date change in the bill that sets the sunset date for the program. It's not a complex means. It could be done easily at any time. That's the first thing that needs to happen. The second thing is Congress needs to appropriate all of the funds that are slated to go into this program into the program and stop robbing the program to pay for other government functions.
Is the oil and gas industry lobbying to, you know, prevent this reauthorization or otherwise change it in some form?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the fees from the oil and gas companies will be the same regardless of whether the program exists.
Mm-hmm.
The question is how those fees are used. Are they used by Congress for their intended purpose that Congress intended when they passed the law 50 years ago, or are they robbed to pay for other government programs? So, you know, they're really, you know, from the American public, there really is no opposition to the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
Right.
So what can we do? What can listeners do to try to, you know, move this along, push this along, advocate for it?
Well, I think the most important thing is to get in touch with your member of Congress, both in the House and Senate, and urge them to reauthorize the Land and Water Conservation Fund and urge them to fully fund the program at the required levels. I mean, that's the most important thing. You can also get information about the projects that have been funded in Utah. I mean, there's an incredible list of projects. I mean, virtually every significant park, wildlife, refuge, and protected area in Utah has benefited from Land and Water Conservation Fund. So it's important for Utahns to understand the benefits that this program has brought to their state, so that they can communicate that to their elected officials. That, you know, this is a program that touches Utahns' lives in a very direct and important way.
Well, I think that's such a good point because I think, you know, a lot of us enjoy our local parks or our national parks or recreation areas that have been funded by this without actually realizing that they were. And so, you know, when you just hear that name, oh, Land and Water Conservation Fund, what does that really even do? You know,
yeah.
I think it is important to understand that that's what's behind a lot of these places that we enjoy.
Absolutely.
So, Paul, I see, you know, I know that you're the director of wilderness campaigns for the Wilderness Society. What other projects do you guys have going on right now that you're focusing on?
Well, we work on a whole suite of projects, and I've been working closely with stakeholders in Utah to develop public lands legislation there through Congressman Bishop's Public Lands Initiative, and that's been a really important project. We work across the United States to protect parks and wilderness and open space for Americans to enjoy.
Well, and what's the website?
Well, the two sites. One, you can go to the Wilderness Society website, which is wilderness.org, and that can take you straight. You can gather information there on the Land and Water Conservation Fund, or LWCFcoalition.org also has some great information, including lists of projects by state.
Fantastic. Well, we'll take a look at that and post it to our Facebook page if any of our listeners are interested in seeing projects that have happened in Utah.
And given the fact that that there's 84 days until the Land and Water Conservation Fund expires, and the fact that this Congress can't manage a two-car parade, much less try to reauthorize this, I don't doubt that you'll be getting down to day three, two, or one before something happens, even on a temporary basis, maybe some temporary reauthorization like they so want to do. But yeah, this is a challenge, and so write your representatives and let them know about the Land and Water Conservation Fund and the threat that it poses, particularly to Utah. Like you were saying, Paul, this is a major driver of our economy in this state, is associated with all these parks and other entities that the LWCF helps fund. So
absolutely, and if enough people reach out to their representatives, hopefully then we'll see some action on reauthorizing and fully funding the program.
All right. Paul Spittler is with Wilderness Society. Again, thanks so much for taking the time to join us this morning to talk about this important issue, topic, and all that the Wilderness Society does. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Paul. Thanks again. Hey, let's take a break for a couple underwriters. When we come back, got a couple of news items to go through.
That's right.
You bet. Stay tuned. It's This Green Earth.
Support for 91.9 FM KPCW comes from Sundance Institute, presenting an outdoor screening of Racing Extinction on Friday, July 10th at 9 p.m. at City Park in Park City. Presented in collaboration with Recycle Utah. Tickets are not required to attend. Showtimes and details for the full series available at sundance.org/Utah. The Sundance Institute is a nonprofit organization.
This is Renee from Park City Nursery's Landscape Division, expanding your outdoor living space with an ear for style, just like KPCW. Conceptual design, hardscape, fire pits, water features, patios, garden design, and more. High-altitude concepts and plants is our job. We know what grows at parkcitynursery.com.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. We've got a few minutes to cover a news item or two. And I saw this one just a few days ago. Last week, Governor Scott Walker, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, signed a bill that will ban microbeads. Those are the plastic exfoliants that are in soap, toothpaste, and other personal care products. So what by what this banning means is that they're going to ban, this is the state of Wisconsin, is going to ban making the production or production of personal care products containing microbeads starting in 2018. Wow, okay.
Right.
So it's 3 years from now.
Right.
You
and
can't
distribution
make,
in 2019.
In 2019,
the following
so 4 years.
Year.
So they're
right.
Giving the industry that uses microbeads in their products 3 to 4 years to remove the inclusion of what these might. And so what are these microbeads? Now,
they are teeny tiny pieces of plastic, and they are so small that they will often end up getting, you know, right through the water treatment plant. So your wastewater from your house goes to a, you know, wastewater treatment plant, and they take out all of the solids, or, you know, so they have done in the past. But these tiny pieces of plastic are so small that they can get right through the filters and the other equipment that's in place. And then they end up in the streams. And where do the streams go? Into the lake. Because then the lakes often drain into the ocean.
And that can get into the ecosystem.
Exactly. And so, you know, fish and wildlife and, well, I guess fish and wildlife are eating these, you know, seeing them,
inadvertently
their food.
Taking it in because it's so small.
They think it's maybe a little macroinvertebrate or a tiny little plant.
And it collects inside them, accumulates inside them, then that's never a good thing. So, and the fact that these microbeads then can be, if they get into the water cycle, they could be drawn into the water treatment plants. Raw water side, and who knows, we could be seeing microbeads showing up in our drinking water.
In drinking water. And there's actually a group called the Adventurers and Scientists for Conservation, or ASC, that's been working on this. And what they're also starting to see is that microplastics don't just come from these microbeads that are placed in, you know, personal care products, but they can also come from things like washing your fleece in your washing machine, tiny little pieces break off into the water and end up. So they're starting to do some research as far as what happens to different kinds of microplastics, not just microbeads.
Okay.
But so I think it's worth mentioning, Wisconsin signed this bill, Republican, you know,
Governor
Scott Walker.
Tea Party type.
Yeah. So it shows it has this bipartisan support, but they're the seventh state?
Oh, are they?
Yes. Seventh state to do it. So Illinois and New Jersey and several other states have already done this. And they're doing similar structures where it's not like immediately this needs to be done. It's like, well,
allowing
in 2 years,
the industry
3 years.
To phase in alternatives, which could include things like more natural substances, like ground up fruit pits or oatmeal or sea salt or something along those lines that can be used as an exfoliant in these products. Like we say, that include things like toothpaste and soap and other exfoliants.
So just to give an idea of like how much, how ubiquitous these are. 90% of ocean surface water samples collected for the ASC's microplastics project were contaminated. 90%.
Nine out of 10 samples.
Right. And then the Great Lakes are having one of the biggest problems with this, and they're seeing up to 1.7 million microplastic particles per square mile of surface water. So that's not even the deep water column. That's surface water.
Surface water. Okay. So it's a great bill. Congratulations, Wisconsin, and those six other states that are making efforts to remove microbeads from our water cycle. Basically, that's what we're talking about. Okay. All right. Let's, we got a few more minutes. Let's do what we wanted to remind people again about the events Recycle Utah is hosting. But first, I was great having Inza on. Always is great to have her on. And I learned a couple of things that I just wanted to remind people again.
Here we go.
when you're recycling, no ceramic or no Pyrex. No ceramic-based bottles or Pyrex. You can't. That's those are
they
types
of cannot go in
glass
with the glass or material that
you can't recycle those. Wine bottles. Wine bottles are green. So if you're going down to sort them, sort the wine bottles and put those into the green glass bin.
That's right. And remember, glass does not go in your commingled curbside bin.
Oh, most importantly.
Most importantly.
Do not put glass in those bins. You have to either take them to Recycle Utah, take them to those brand new remote locations, or otherwise they go into the dumpster and they go to the landfill. Glass is inert. You know, it doesn't threaten.
Right. It's not
going to
be toxic.
Landfill.
It's not going to leach.
Exactly. So yes, it can go. It'd be nice to reuse it, but it's okay if you have no other choice to throw it in the dumpster. It's okay. It's all right. Don't feel bad. Okay. And so don't put it in the recycle bins because then it contaminates the bin, and they can't.
Right. And then everything else in the bin.
And then everything goes into the
glass shards on it.
And then everything goes to the landfill.
Right.
Okay, so that's an important point. And then the last one is the blue glass. Bring your blue glass to Recycle Utah because they have a special agreement with Heritage Glass down in Salt Lake City, and Heritage reuses it for countertops or other tiles, or they just repurpose it
right.
and reuse it. Wonderful. It's beautiful glass. So those are the
it
things.
Is. And if you're looking for finishes for your kitchen or floor, take a look at their products.
All right. And then their events this Friday at City Park, the film Racing Extinction. Doors, quote unquote, open at 7. The film starts around 9 or, you know, sunset. And that's this Friday, July 10th and July 17th at Recycle Utah is their fourth annual benefit titled Uncorked. It's a benefit concert to support glass recycling.
That's right.
At Recycle Utah.
We also have an event at Swanner this evening that I want to mention quickly. We have a guided tour through the wetlands. And so we're going to visit some of the wetland ponds, it's a really cool kind of wetland called a fen. We're going to look at the Columbia spotted frog reintroduction.
Yeah.
Do some birding and a few other things. So if you're interested in that, you can get online and sign up. I think there's still a few spots left, but we do require registration. So get on there and register before
okay.
it's full.
Great. What time again?
So it's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay.
Tonight.
And, of course, in addition to the spotted frog and some plants, there'll probably be some mountain lion and elk and moose.
We've scheduled appearances of a variety of wildlife. No, it is, pretty common to see, deer, elk,
oh, really?
Moose, sandhill cranes, blue herons, those kinds of things while
Beaver?
We're out there. We don't frequently see them.
Oh.
We see muskrats, though,
okay.
pretty often. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow, it's crazy out there. It's like a zoo. All right. All right, we got to wrap up. One last round of underwriters, and we'll be back to wrap up. It's This Green Earth.
Hello, this is David Brancaccio. Join me for the Marketplace Morning Report at 6:51 and 7:51 a.m. here on KPCW, bringing you the morning business news for the rest of us in the time that takes you to savor your first cup of joe. Marketplace Morning Report is, I think, a useful way to start your day. That's the Marketplace Morning Report, weekday mornings here on 91.9 and 88.1 FM KPCW.
Brought to you in part by Park City Mountain Resort, Cushman & Wakefield Commerce Commercial Real Estate, and Canyons Resort.
Time to wrap things up here at This Green Earth. Let's thank our sponsors and underwriters who make this show possible. They include Recycle Utah,
Republic Services,
Vail Resorts,
Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties,
and San Francisco Design.
You can always join us on Facebook at KPCW This Green Earth.
Or email us your thoughts, comments, and ideas to thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
This is KPCW 91.9 FM Park City.
Only in Park City. Only on KPCW.
That's
good job.
Right.
All right, we'll see you all next week. Thanks for joining us. NPR News is next.